All right, y'all ready for a gear change? Because now that we've rebuked Satan and he's gone, right, we got some work to do. So let's go. You want to push the button? Okay. I need sound.
Sometimes I dream that he is me. You got to see that's how I dream to be.
I dream I move, I dream I groove like Mike. If I could be like Mike,
oh, if I could be like Mike,
like Mike. If I could be like Mike.
You only.
It
says view only.
Sometimes I dream that he is me. You got to see that's how I dream to be.
You weren't supposed to watch the whole thing.
I dream I
the tech doesn't always work the way you want tech to work, right? So, how many of you grew up in the 80s? How many of you remember seeing that commercial? No? You don't remember?
Oh.
Yes? Yeah, okay. I was like, you don't remember? Whew. Boy. That commercial and others like it and Michael Jordan had an impact on me in the 80s. I remember having an argument with my father-in-law many years later about the year that Michael Jordan graduated from college, and he insisted it was 1982, and I said, no, it's 1983, and he goes, you're wrong. I said, I think not, because I spent a lot of my 80s wanting to be like Mike. I think that for anybody who is athletically driven, I certainly was not athletically inclined. It affected a whole generation of people. I know, my mic keeps cutting in and out. Do you want me to switch to a handheld? One of them that they affected was Kobe Bryant. And Kobe, if you know him, he's passed on now, says he recalls when he was 13 years old, says he'd watch Michael Jordan play, and he'd say to himself, can I get to that level? I don't know, but let's find out. Can I be like Mike? I don't know, but let's find out. Kobe had an insane work ethic. He was known for his work ethic. Every day, in season or out of season, he would do drills a minimum of 2 hours a day. He would lift weights a minimum of 2 hours a day, and he would do cardio a minimum of 2 hours a day. That's a full-time job all by itself, without even playing a game, without even running a play. 6 hours of work every day because he had this drive, this desire to be like Mike. In fact, he wanted to be better than Mike. That's why he wore 24 instead of 23. And this entire discussion is not to lift up a sports figure. It's not even to lift up his commitment to chasing to be like Mike, but it does reveal something about what it means to grow, to become something you desire to be, to have success in whatever it is you're trying to do. Kobe Bryant would actually go on to hire Tim Grover. He was Michael Jordan's personal strength and conditioning coach. So after Michael retired, he hired him and he said, I need you to teach me whatever it is. He was in the secret sauce. He would go to great lengths. It took far more than physical gifts. It required emulating the best of the best, emulating Michael Jordan's discipline, his preparation, and his work ethic. And without those things, the physical gifts wouldn't have mattered. They would not have gotten him where he needed to go. Outside of sports, this is also true, right? If you want to be successful in business, just because you're smart or highly charismatic is not going to make you successful in and of itself. There is work involved. There's preparation involved. There is dedication involved. There is commitment involved. It doesn't just happen by accident. If you want to be an incredible teacher or you want to make a marriage work, there's work involved. If you want to raise kids, there's work involved. Now, the truth is, for most of us that grew up in the 80s, there's no way we were ever going to be like Mike without some divine intervention. Like I needed at least a foot and some hops. That would have been great too. I could go on with a list, but that's of where I fall short, that I would have needed. And sometimes when it comes to raising kids, sometimes I feel like I need divine intervention for that too. But I still think the lesson makes sense. I still think we can learn a lot about anything we want to be able to do from those who have done it before us and were really, really good at it. But where does this tie into our faith and our 21 days of prayer and fasting? Well, the truth is, for Christians, this person that we should be looking to and saying, how can I emulate or imitate them? How can I grow in my Christ-likeness? How can I grow in my faith? How can I become more of Jesus and less of me, right? More of you, Lord, and less of me. How do I do that? Well, you need some divine intervention, and luckily Jesus already intervened, right? And he's still intervening. He's still active. He's still alive. He's still pursuing. He's still pushing. He's still changing us. But I think there's also some value in recognizing that we need to emulate him. We need to choose to emulate him. Jesus prayed often, so we should pray often, right? Jesus fasted, so we should probably fast. Jesus sought solitude, so we should seek solitude. Jesus worshiped, and so we worship. Jesus served the least of these, and so too should we. We can't be Jesus, but we can be like Jesus in the way that we live. We can be like Jesus, and lucky for us, divine intervention is a thing. Hence 21 days of prayers and fasting. And by the way, reading scripture, because I think it stands at the center and the source of this. In doing so, we're going to try to emulate three habits that Jesus held, that Jesus taught us, and that, quite frankly, if we're going to be transformed into the likeness of Jesus, that we probably should be diligent about emulating. We need to imitate the Master. And so that's going to be our challenge over the next 3 weeks, together as a group. Because remember, we need one another. How do we imitate Jesus in these areas? And there are more. There are more what some would call spiritual disciplines, ways to engage and meditate on the Word of God and to engage with the Lord and to develop a Christ-likeness. But we're going to just focus on these three over the next few weeks. It's an open invitation to do it with us. And so we're going to talk about it, but I've got tools and I've got materials and I've got things and I've got advice on how to do it, but the invitation is that we do it together. So we're going to start off by reading Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. And you may say, as we read this, you may say, I don't see prayer, I don't see fasting, and I don't see reading scripture anywhere in here, but I trust me, it's there. And more importantly, the position of one's heart when entering those things is there. So, it says this. It says, while they were traveling, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who also sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, and she came up and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? So I tell her to give me a hand. The Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, are you worried? You are worried and upset about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has made the right choice, and it will not be taken away from her. Question, what do your calendars look like? If I asked you to get out your calendar on your phone, or I asked you to look up if you use a paper calendar, what's your calendar look like? How busy is your life? I remember when I was in high school and I was doing a certain activity or a certain sport. I played rec league basketball all the time, and I kept thinking things like, once school is out, I'll have more time. Once the season is over, I will have more time. My schedule, my calendar will be much less busy. I won't have anywhere near as much. And then I remember thinking, when I get to college, after I move out of my parents' house, I don't have to deal with the chores anymore. I don't have to deal with doing the things my mom wants me to do. I'm surely going to have more time. My schedule's going to be less busy. Do you sense a theme here? When I got married, did my schedule get better? Not so much. When you had kids, did your schedule get better? No. But when I kept saying, hey, when my kids get older, my schedule's going to get better, guess what happened? It got busier. Yes. What about in your job? Do you ever say, if I get promoted, then my schedule will be less busy? That's not how that works. How many of us thought to ourselves, once I retire, right? Here's a fun fact. The notion that our schedule is ever going to reach the point where it's going to get less busy is a lie. There are far too many demands on us. And if you're waiting for things to settle down, to get easier, we tell the teenagers this all the time. If you're waiting until pick your life event to happen so that you can spend more time with the Lord, so that you can spend more time in prayer, so that you can spend more time reading, or so that you can do things like fasting, because that's challenging to do with our busy schedules. If you're waiting for that to happen, it's not going to. Satan doesn't want it to. He wants to keep our heads spinning. He wants to keep us busy with many tasks. He wants to keep us distracted from the things that God is calling us to do and to be. Put yourself in Martha's shoes, right? Jesus shows up with 11 of his best friends and whoever else is tagging along, and shows up at their house and says, hey, we're here. We're going to hang for a while. We're going to talk. Do you got any food? If this is your home, what are you going to do? Get food, because after all, it is the Messiah, right? You don't know that yet, but you do know that he's powerful. You do know that he's a rabbi. You do know that he's a healer. And you know that he just descended upon your house with a dozen people. All of a sudden, out of nowhere. And Mary feels obligated, I would guess, to do all of these things. To clean, to provide the best meal, to make sure everything is put together as it should be. And she's sitting here watching her sister going, can you help me make things right? Can you help me get all the work done first? And then we will worship the master, is almost this implication here. You're getting ahead of yourself, Mary. Could be that she felt obligated to get all of these things done. Does that sound familiar to you? Or maybe she was just angry because she didn't see this as an option. The notion of a woman sitting at the feet of a man and touching him, a rabbi, was counter to the culture. You did not do that. And the notion of Jesus sitting there and allowing her to do that was also counter to the culture. You simply did not do that. I wonder if she was upset deep down inside. There was another layer. If she was upset because she was just, it didn't fit what she thought it should look like or thought it should be, and she ended up missing out on being in the presence of Jesus because you just don't do that. It could be that Martha would rather do these things deep down inside. She'd rather do these things and call them serving Jesus instead of spending time at his feet. She would rather show up, make all the plans, do all the cleaning, do all the prep work, work around Jesus, but not be willing to spend the time sitting at his feet. And you say, why would you ever do that? It happens a lot more often than you think. Because if you sit at the feet of Jesus, Jesus is going to challenge you. Jesus is going to ask you questions that you don't want asked and you don't want to have to answer. Jesus is going to change you. And I think sometimes we actively choose to do all of these other things and call them holy and call them of God, and they are godly in their basis, right? They are good things. But sometimes I think we do them and then we use them as a substitute for sitting at the feet of God. I was reading a quote from a pastor this week, Kevin DeYoung. He said, busyness does not mean you are faithful or a fruitful Christian. It only means you are busy, just like everyone else. And like everyone else, your joy, your heart, and your soul are in danger. Busyness, even if it's godly busyness, doing church-related things, is not a substitute for sitting at the feet of Jesus. It's not a substitute for a growing faith. It's not a substitute for a growing relationship. And it will not transform us. Regardless of whether or not Martha's actions were intentional or not, Luke tells us what the outcome is. In verse 40, he said, Mary was distracted by her many tasks. Martha was distracted. Distracted from the pursuit of God, distracted from being in the presence of God, distracted from seeing Jesus work right among them, distracted from growing in Christ's likeness, distracted from being his disciple. Because that's what a disciple does. He sits at the feet of the person that is leading them. In our case, it is God himself, it is Jesus Christ. And learns and does what the master shows them to do. The 21 days that we're embarking upon is 21 days of choosing Jesus over the distractions. It's 21 days of saying, where are there places that I avoid following Jesus in my life, or that I make an excuse not to, or that I substitute something instead of? And spend 21 days choosing to say, it's not forever, I'm hoping it will be, but it's 21 days of being diligent about saying, am I choosing to sit at the feet of Jesus instead of those other things? Now, what's that going to require? Your schedule to change. It's going to require us to evaluate our priorities. It's going to require us to ask questions about whether or not the things that we are investing in, though they may seem good, are they holy? Because there's a lot of good things in life. We talked a lot about priorities last week, right? And the things we prioritize and the things we choose to do that probably we shouldn't. This is another hit on that. Organize, think through your priorities. Is God and Jesus really first? Because that's from where everything else flows. So the three habits we're going to look at or work in. Habit number one, reading Scripture. And you say, did Jesus read Scripture? Yes. In fact, in Luke chapter 4, we know that literally he whipped out the scroll of Isaiah in the synagogue and read it. But more importantly, it was embedded in him. It was embedded in his heart. If you read any one of his sermons, or you hear any one of his parables, it is dripping with the Word of God. It is based on the Word of God. He stood on Scripture when he was tempted by Satan. He taught from Scripture when challenged by the Pharisees and the scribes. And his very life on earth fulfilled Scripture from the very beginning to the very end. It was the basis of everything he taught us and the way he lived. So, when should we read Scripture? The key words are every day. Every day. If you're saying to yourself, I don't have time to read it every day, I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to say, yeah, you do. You just might have to say no to something that's distracting you from God. You might have to reorganize your thoughts and your processes. But we need to make it a habit. It is the stuff of life to read Scripture each and every day. And this is a hard one too, when you are at your best and most attentive. I should not read Scripture between 2 and 4 any day of the week. Do you know why? Because I feel like I need a nap. So I need to be out doing something physical. Or I'm struggling. My brain is not doing what it needs to be doing. So between 2 and 4 in the afternoon, it's been like this since I was like 10 years old. It's a horrible time for my brain to operate. My brain operates best, much to the chagrin of my wife sometimes, at like 7 a.m. I'm ready to get up and go, and Heather's like, you're too much. Just, I know you find that hard to believe. But mornings are my thing. That's the time I need to spend with Jesus. Instead of saying, oh, I need to get all my work done first, and then I'll spend time. That's backwards. But I'm apt to do it if I'm not careful. Maybe you do it on a lunch break, or maybe you can really just do it anytime. Yes, but pick the time that is consistent, almost rhythmic. Like, this is time I will defend, right? If we will defend the time we need to watch the Ohio State game, certainly we can defend the time we need to worship Jesus and read his word, right? If I will defend my time to practice, if I will defend my time to work out, if I will defend my time, pick your items, certainly we can defend our time to read God's word. What we're going to read over the next 20 days, I hope, share in reading together, is the book of John. Fun fact, the book of John has how many chapters? 21! Right? One chapter per day. One chapter per day. Is that a commitment? Yes. Is it insurmountable? Really shouldn't be. If you say, well, I've read the book of John before, I've read it 15 times. Man, one of the things that I love the most about God's word is every time I read it, something else pops out. Another word, another layer, another opportunity to grow and to be changed. You're talking to the guy who never wants to see a movie twice because I know how it ends. But the word of God, man, it is life itself. So the book of John, one chapter a day is our goal. If you get behind, my advice is pick up now. I'm going to say don't catch up. I'm going to say just pick up where you left off and commit to finishing the 21 chapters. Because our hope is that we won't just read it. We're going to build a habit and we're going to meditate on it and think through it. And that's really how I want us to do it. Okay? And if you need help with this, there's a few things. There are, if you want a hard copy, there are pieces of paper out there that say reading, for what to do if you want to read scripture. There's one that says prayer for some praying points and some focuses for each week, which we'll get into. And there's also a huge guide on fasting. Because if I was going to pick one of the three that I think we don't know as much about, it would probably be that one. If you want it in paper, I can give it to you in paper. If you would like it digitally, text me, email me, tell me. I don't want to blow up your inbox with notifications and reminders unless you want me to blow up your inbox with notifications, reminders, and documents. If you want me to, I'll blow it up all day. So the steps I'm going to ask us to take over these next 21 days when we're going to read scripture is to first pray. Pray to ask God to speak to you through his word. Pray for your heart to be opened. Pray for you to approach your approach to God's word to greatly impact you. Ask it to change you. Ask it to alter you. Ask it to challenge you. Take notes, read, and take notes as you read, if you can. I do it all the time. Subtle words here and there, highlights, underlines, just something to remind you of what God has brought forth to you today. What stuck out to you? Reflect. Spend some time reflecting on what you just read, what stood out to you. It could be 5 minutes. It could be a half an hour. But stop and ponder what God has said. Let it mull over in your head. Repeat it. Reflect on it. Let it dig its way into your heart. And then respond. Spend some time praying with Jesus, responding to him through prayer. What do you want to thank him for what you've read today and what you've learned? What do you need to confess to him, and what are you asking for? And then the last one is record, and it's for those of you who are writers, journal writers. If you want to write in a journal, the thoughts, the feelings, what God brought forth, and you know, it's okay to feel when you read scripture. You get that, right? It should tax our minds. It should also very much mold our hearts. If scripture makes you cry, that's okay. If it makes you mad, that's probably okay too. Don't be afraid of whatever God is teaching you through his word, because it's meant to change all of who we are, not just a part. The next thing we're going to do is pray, and we're going to pray with purpose. Okay? I want you to pray two times a day, and I will be pray two times a day in addition to reading scripture. And each week we're going to have a focus for the week. The first week, week one, the focus will be on waking up, refusing to be a people who fall into spiritual slumber. If you feel like your spiritual life is in a rut, and I heard that yesterday at a meeting I was at with our adult Bible school leaders, said they felt like their faith was in a rut. If your faith is in a rut, then pray with purpose next week that it will jump the sides of the rut. That it will get out of whatever hole it's in. Ask God for a spiritual awakening in your life, where he's going to reveal some new call, new cause, new understanding of who he is, that he's going to push you forward and punt you out of the rut if he needs to. Pray to see his beauty and that the things that are not of him will fall away. Those things that you're distracted by will become less and less and less important in light of the priority of Jesus. We'll get more and more into the other two, but the other 2 weeks, this week two, we're going to pray for a heart for the house. That would be a heart for the body of Christ. It seems that the house would be a good word to use, given that they were sitting in Mary and Martha's house. Martha didn't even recognize, or at least not value highly enough, the fact that the Messiah was sitting in her house and how she should respond to that. Mary did. And while I'm reticent, or while I'm more apt to be Martha sometimes, the truth is I need to be Mary a whole lot more often. And then in week three, we're going to pray for a heart for the world, to see the world as God sees it, to see people as God sees them. Habit number three, fasting. I'm going to ask us to fast not for the entire 21 days. How many of you went, whew? Okay. If you want to fast for 21 days, go for it. I'm here to support you. I'm here to help you. I'm here to pray with you. But I'm going to ask that we fast for a period of 7 days, October 8th, that's next Sunday, through the following Saturday. Why am I not starting it on the first one? Because I think that fasting takes probably a few more things than we're used to. It takes one purpose. I like to eat. If I'm going to fast from food, skipping a meal or skipping sugar, I need a reason. How many of you need a reason? And it's not always my doctor saying your cholesterol is too high. Sometimes we need a purpose. And so that's why we have put together purpose. To say, this is the reason I'm fasting. This is what I'm going to pray for. This is what I'm going to focus on. This is what I'm asking God to do. And I'm removing this thing from my life and replacing it with the things of God. But I think fasting also requires preparation. I don't think it's something you do at the drop of a hat. If I asked you, I said, hey, we're going to start a fast today. Don't go eat lunch. How many of you would go, are you kidding? I would. I never eat breakfast on Sunday mornings. Many of you know that. If I suddenly said I can't go eat lunch, I'm going to need to go find it. I'm going to take a nap. That's what I'm going to have to do. Because I'm going to be out of gas. I'm going to be hangry. Hangry. All right. So it takes preparation. Prepare your mind and your body. Get ready. Determine the nature of your fast. Is it going to be food? Is it going to be technology? Is it going to be something else that I can't even think of off the top of my head? What distraction are you going to remove from your life? Or what thing you depend on for solace or healing that you're going to remove from your life and replace it with the things of God? For 21 days, for 3 weeks. Also, we need to prepare by making a plan to make it happen. It might be a trip to the grocery store if it's food. Decide what you're going to eat or not eat. Plan out your meals. make some decisions ahead of time, because we are far more likely to make the right call ahead of time than in the moment. That means looking at your schedule and going, I'm not going to be available to make to eat right at home on these days. Maybe I should pack a lunch. Anticipate pushback. Anticipate it will be hard. Anticipate Satan will dangle whatever it is in front of you that distracts you from God. Know it's coming, because if we know it's coming, sometimes it's just easier to go, I know what you're trying to do here. I'm not having it. The focus of that time will be a heart for the house. And then why are we picking that? Well, our congregational annual meeting is the 15th. It's that following Sunday. Seems appropriate that we are fasting and praying for a heart of the house over the course of the week before we come to that meeting. We might find our hearts and minds better prepared. So, reading scripture, praying, and fasting. There are also ways I want to encourage you to get taken down by a fly. There are ways I want to encourage you and try to develop three more habits or three more connections that will help us all get through this together. The first is, form a group. Find one or two or 10 people, doesn't matter how big it is, that you can say, I want to walk with you through this. We can do this together. You can hold me accountable. You can help me be sharpened. You can encourage me when things go bad. Find somebody. We spent a lot of time this morning talking about how we need one another, right? That's why we stood in a circle around the room and looked at one another. That's one of the downsides of the way we seat, is I just get to see the back of everybody's head, right? But if I can look at you, I'm reminded that we are in this together. Form a group of some sort. Could it be a text group where you're texting back and forth? Yes. Could it be meeting for coffee somewhere once a week? If you're technologically inclined, could it be doing a Zoom study together? Yes, it could be all of those things or something else. But don't tread this alone. Tread it with somebody else. And if you see somebody else who's trying to tread it alone, be courageous enough to be the person that says, I don't want you to try to tread this alone. I will do it with you. You could follow along on social. If you do, Facebook or Instagram, I'm going to put up posts every day of what chapter, some thoughts that I've had. If you need reminders, they will be there every day for the next 21 days starting tomorrow. Or you could join me Thursday mornings at 8 a.m. at Gathering Grounds Coffee for the next three Thursdays. I will be there. I will be there drinking coffee because I need an excuse to drink coffee. I will be there reading scripture, and I'll be there with for anyone who wants to sit down and talk about the 21 days, who wants to sit down and talk about things they're going through, who wants to be prayed with, who wants to be encouraged. By the way, you can do that anytime. Just call me and ask, but I'm gonna be at Gathering Grounds every Thursday for the next 3 weeks. Would love to see you. And my hope is that after these 3 weeks are up, so on the 22nd of October, as we go through our cycle of prayer and reading and response, and prayer and reading and response, and my hope is that the response will be from us in this body of the things that God has shown us over the last 21 days. Because I anticipate that he can and will do incredible things. I anticipate that if we're willing to just join in and do what he's calling us to do right now, He will reveal to us something we had never thought of before, seen before. He will make himself known anew and afresh to each of us and to all of us. So I'm gonna pray, and as I pray, we're gonna sing some more. Everybody stand, and we're gonna sing some more songs, right? Say more singing. Yes, more singing. Jesus worships, so we're worshiping, right? Father God, we're mindful of the next 21 days. We will need you. We will need you above all else to walk with us, to carry us, to push us sometimes. We will need you. Part of doing all of this is to build a dependence. Sometimes we think we can convince ourselves that we can make it. Just need to gut our way through and we'll come back to you later. That's not true. We need you to get through. Lord, I pray over this body that you will withhold anything that distracts them, distracts any of us from seeing you clearly and drawing closer to you in this time period. I pray that you will guard our hearts and minds. I pray that you will draw Lord God, we are honored to be your children and thankful that you allow us to sit at your feet. Help us to embrace it and to not be distracted by the things of this world. It is in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.